Welcome, and thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify. The podcast is distributed on these platforms every Friday and is included in the NAHU's weekly member-exclusive health policy newsletter, The Washington Update, giving you a head start on your weekly healthcare happy hour. On this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour, we are taking a break from the crazy politics in Washington to focus on potential data-driven solutions to lower healthcare costs. Susan Dentzer, Senior Policy Fellow for the Robert J. Margolis Center for Health Policy at Duke University, and host of Optum's new health policy podcast, Until It's Fixed, joins us to discuss what's working and what isn't working in our healthcare system, and how we can lower costs through untangling administrative complexity. Susan, thank you so much for joining us this week. Would you mind introducing yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely, Daniel. Well, you just did. Thank you very much. It's great to be here with you. But yes, I'm a senior policy fellow at the Duke Margolis Center, which is the arm of Duke University that brings together all of our capabilities across all the schools of Duke that are interested in focusing on health policy. We're actually based in Washington, D.C., and I'm a longtime health policy observer, a longtime journalist. I previously was the on-air health correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. I went on from there to edit the journal Health Affairs for 5 years. I did a tour of duty as the senior policy advisor for the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. I ran a small nonprofit focused on healthcare innovation for several years, and now I'm at Duke and looking with all of my colleagues at Duke, particularly right now, obviously on a lot of aspects involving the pandemic, but also doing this really interesting podcast with Optum, and delighted to be here with you today to talk about all of that.
Would you mind going into more detail about what Optum is and their function in the pursuit to lower healthcare costs?
Sure. Well, a lot of people know United Healthcare and therefore the United Health Group, a large organization based in Minnesota that has a lot of activities in the insurance markets, obviously, and many of your members are well aware of that. The other side of the United Health Group is a group of companies organized under the umbrella of Optum. And really, Optum, it can be thought of in a way as a kind of a health services company, in the sense that the various entities of Optum come at the healthcare sector from different and very important perspectives, all aimed at figuring out how to make the system work better. So data and analytics, a big, big strength of Optum. The people who are essentially looking at all of the data that accumulates in healthcare and figuring out what does it mean? What does it tell us about what's going on in healthcare? What does it tell us about how we can be doing healthcare better? How do we feed that information back to the healthcare providers and others who can make the most difference by acting on that data? There also are Optum Rx is essentially in the realm of pharmacy care services, pharmacy benefit management, specialty pharmacy management, et cetera, et cetera. So the very important aspects of stewarding the dollars that are spent on pharmaceutical drugs in the healthcare system and figuring out how to do that as well as possible. Optum itself is now actively engaged also in healthcare delivery through a whole network of primary care practices, urgent care providers, surgery centers, and others. Optum employs more than 55,000 physicians now, actively involved in the provision of care, not just to people enrolled in United Health insurance plans, but broadly for people basically buying insurance from all types of payers. And then Optum also has some advisory services specifically designed to advise healthcare systems on how to manage amid the pandemic, for example, how to do revenue cycle management, how to think about growing revenues or adapting revenues to new sources like telehealth, and very importantly, of course, how to get a handle on costs, how to continue to focus on total costs of care given that affordability of healthcare in the US is probably the number one issue that we face beyond, for example, the pandemic.
Now, when looking at the state of healthcare in the country, a lot of politicians are using what isn't working as a justification to move to something like a single-payer system or Medicare for all. NAHU is vehemently opposed to any iteration of single-payer. How do you think that the work Optum is doing that you were talking about can help prevent such a system from becoming reality?
Well, look, I certainly know where your members are coming from. As a person who's studied health policy in this country for many, many years, and also health policy abroad, I spent a lot of time looking at the Japanese healthcare system and the French healthcare system and the Swiss healthcare system. You know, there's no system that's perfect, right? It's all about trade-offs. These various systems, whether it's the National Health Service in the UK or Canadian system, all those systems have strengths and they have weaknesses. If you went there and had honest conversations with the people running those systems, they would tell you that. In fact, they would spend probably more time telling you about the weaknesses of their systems than their strengths. And I kind of think that that's where the United States is, right? We have a lot of strengths in our system and we have some very notable weaknesses. And we can't exactly go shopping down the aisle and find a better system out there and just buy it and plunk it down in the United States, right? It doesn't work that way. So what we have to do is take the system that we have and figure out how to make it work better. So what do we know about the strengths of our system? We know that we provide some of the best care available any place on the planet for people who are well insured. Okay, so if you've got good insurance coverage, you can come to the United States. Even if you don't have insurance coverage and you happen to be really rich, you can come to the United States and get arguably the best healthcare in the world for many, many conditions. That we know. We would love to preserve that. What else do we know? We know that increasingly we understand that healthcare has a responsibility not just to take care of us when we're sick, but to prevent us from getting sick in the first place. And this is kind of a new thing for the healthcare sector in the US to kind of wake up and realize that it really is true. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. It doesn't necessarily work out that way cost-wise because it turns out you got to spend a lot of money on prevention to get benefits of it, but you can get benefits out of it. And it really is better to keep people from getting sick in the first place. So increasingly, our healthcare system is waking up and realizing that. So those are really important strengths of our system. If we ask weaknesses of our system, I would say we have a very, very fragmented healthcare system, right? We've got lots of different insurance programs and lots of different providers. And the intersection of those two, very frequently, on the good side, it leads to a lot of choice. We got a lot of choice around insurers and we got a lot of choice around providers. But when you try to put those two together, it leads to chaos, right? And we have a lot of chaos that is inevitably around things like paying bills, right? And so just as an example, if you've got a bunch of different providers, first of all, acting differently in how they're treating patients, which they are, reporting in differently to insurers sometimes about how they're treating patients. The insurers are very often demanding different information out of providers. So there's a mismatch around who needs what information and when. And then if you layer on top of that the fact that we're only now really getting to digitize all of this so that the information flows kind of seamlessly, we've been late to the game in healthcare in getting that accomplished as distinct from other industries. So people know the phrase interoperability. We don't even have interoperable electronic health records at this point within the system. And we certainly don't have complete interoperability of collecting information in the healthcare setting and shipping it over to the insurance setting for payment. So that's inevitably a weakness of our system, I would argue. And how does it translate? It translates into cost. So by any estimate, we have the highest administrative expenses of any healthcare system in the world. Depending on how you count administrative expenses, it's anywhere from, at the low end, the estimates would say it's 7% of total spending. And let's just point out that 7% of $4 trillion is a lot of money.
Yeah.
At the high end, the estimates are maybe it's as much as 30% is administrative expenses. And let's point out that a third of $4 trillion is a lot more money. And some of the estimates suggest, for example, that we spend more money on the administration of healthcare every year than we spend on treating people for all forms of heart disease. And that happens to be the biggest killer of all Americans. So if that's the case, you kind of scratch your head and think, well, isn't there a way you could basically take that part of the system, make it operate more rationally, get rid of some of that administrative expense, which we will all point out does nothing to buy us any more health as a country. And we do happen to have a population that, on average, is less healthy than all the other rich countries of the world, on average, right? So that's, to me, a really urgent issue to attack. And regardless of, there is a lot of thinking that, yes, if we just went to a single payer system, we could deal with that. I think there's also a lot of opportunity right now in technology and interoperability and essentially building smart systems that take a lot of the friction out of healthcare, remove it, and basically seize a lot of those dollars that we're now spending on administrative spending and spend them on something we would really rather prefer to buy, which is more units of actual health for the population.
Sorry for the interruption, but I have to tell you about NAHU's Power Hour. NAHU has come together to get creative and host an entirely new networking experience for the benefits industry. The NAHU Power Hour, open to all, is designed for a fresh take on virtual networking. What should you expect? Fast-paced, one-on-one networking opportunities with NAHU leaders, advisor peers, solution experts, and everybody in between. Conversation starters to discuss key challenges and opportunities impacting your business, and a completely new twist on traditional virtual networking. You'll have to join us live to experience this fun new concept, so look for registration information on the NAHU 365 app or go to nahu.org/events to register now. So going more on, you know, specific ideas on how we can decrease this administrative burden, you're talking about technology. What specific source of technology are we looking at here? We're looking at automation and things like that?
Yeah. In essence, let's take, for example, something like prior authorization, right? So why do we have prior authorization? We have prior authorization, frankly, because, let's just put it bluntly, healthcare providers are, under our current largely fee-for-service system, often incentivized to do things for patients, whether they need them or not, okay? As the late great economist Uwe Reinhardt used to say, there are lots of things that healthcare providers can do and still feel right with God. So if you walk in and you've got, let's say you've injured your knee, and I can look at you and I can say, you know, I think if you just go home and do physical therapy, your knee will feel a lot better. I could also say, I think you need an MRI. And I can also say, I think you need an MRI and you should go down the street to this place that will give you an MRI. And I may not honestly know as a doctor that that place down the street is charging four times for an MRI what someplace two blocks away is charging, right? So why do you have prior auth? First of all, you want to know, is this MRI really necessary? Does it follow any actual clinical guidelines? Then you want to know, is somebody being referred to a place that is just over the top, way high cost, a real outlier, or is this person being referred to someplace that's in network? And if they choose to go out of network, have we made the patient aware of the fact that that patient might be paying much more out of pocket for this, or that this, because the patient hasn't yet expended his or her deductible, they're going to be totally exposed to these costs, right? So there are all kinds of really legitimate reasons to do prior authorization. Okay, so what do people really hate? Prior authorization, right? The providers kind of grudgingly understand that it serves a role in the system. The patients are either oblivious to it or maybe they get it. But, you know, the guy who's in the waiting room with knee pain isn't in love with the idea that he's going to have to wait to find out if his insurance company authorizes this. He's probably starts swearing at the insurance company under his breath about all of this, right? So it's a real headache. And then on top of that, it can be a lot of back and forth, right? So the insurance company comes back and says, no, I'm sorry, this MRI is not authorized. The doctor is angry. The patient is angry. They try to sort out, why is this? Well, sometimes it's because it really was outside the guidelines and is not recommended. Sometimes it's because somebody put in the wrong information and sent it to the insurance company that read the information correctly, but it turned out it was the wrong information. It was coded incorrectly or whatever. So you get all of this back and forth. Did you really mean that this was coded X? No, I meant it was to be coded Y. Well, then, okay. Then if you're going to code it Y, then okay, it's all right. So just to multiply that by the tens of millions of times a day that somebody wants healthcare and is going through this process, either the patient, the provider, or the insurer. And you can see what the potential is for wasting a lot of time and wasting a lot of money, and particularly for things that should probably be authorized. And there's a way to look at data around past episodes of care that was delivered and prior authorizations and find patterns in the data that basically say, okay, if claims come in and they're coded this way and they're from this provider and this system, the past data will tell us that most of those were authorized. So we could probably build some kind of analytics platform that will streamline those authorizations and maybe not put them through this torturous process of back and forth. As we know, that's what the magic of data and analytics, and in the future, other applications of data and analytics like artificial intelligence and machine learning, that's what the potential really is. Find patterns in the data, understand what those patterns mean, and then build systems that embrace those patterns and automate a lot that is now done, in effect, the equivalent of manually. And so as you bring those systems to bear on issues like prior authorization, it is completely plausible that we'll get to a point where we will automate a whole lot of prior authorization, maybe kick out some things. The system will tell us, I think this is an outlier. You know, this one needs a human look. You could do that and probably achieve a much, much more efficient set of processes that would almost guarantee cost a lot less and waste a lot less money on this administrative back and forth.
Hey, you. Yeah, you listening right now. Did you know that NAHU has an election special on our single-payer certification course? Take advantage today with 20% off with the code TOGETHER until November 3rd. The structure of our healthcare system is a top campaign issue in our upcoming election. Although NAHU, of course, is opposed to any single-payer system, it is our priority to provide you with information, tools, and resources to keep you informed and competitive. Until November 3rd, take advantage of 20% off NAHU's single-payer healthcare certification course with the code TOGETHER. Again, the code is TOGETHER for 20% off until Election Day. Now enjoy the rest of this week's episode of the Healthcare Happy Hour. So can you tell us more about this new podcast, Until It's Fixed? What sorts of topics are you covering, and how is it going to be structured?
Well, of course, this is Optum's baby for all kinds of good reasons. I think Optum wanted to get out the word about the capabilities that it can bring to bear on the healthcare system through all of its component companies and really elevate for the public the degree of these issues. As we know, as somebody once said, healthcare is complicated. Most Americans, frankly, have not necessarily a really deep understanding of a lot of the inherent issues in healthcare. Why would anybody necessarily want to have that understanding, except those of us who have found the whole thing fascinating and waded into it for some years? But it is complicated. It is complicated. And there are a lot of forces that are brought to bear on this sector. And particularly in our system in this country, where we do have a largely private system, at least on the delivery side, and a system that on the payment side is split, roughly speaking, half and half between public payment like Medicare and Medicaid and private payment like commercial insurance and employer-provided insurance. Those are a lot of really different entities already, a lot of different players, a lot of different stakeholders in the system. And then if you add in the fact that we're doing really complicated things here in clinical care across a lot of other very complicated things, technologies, pharmaceuticals, et cetera, and then operationally, healthcare is a pretty complicated thing to run and to administer. So we've got all of these different moving parts. And I think what Optum is trying to do is, first of all, tell people more about some of these complexities in the system, basically illuminate some of the real issues in healthcare, because they're real, right? They're real, completely independent of any party affiliation. You can't look at healthcare in the U.S. and say, boy, it's working swimmingly, because it's not. I mean, they're just, as I said earlier, there are enormous strengths of this system and enormous weaknesses. So if you take as your goal, well, so how can we keep the strengths and minimize the weaknesses and make it work even better as a system for the entirety of the country, then you have to tackle some of these challenges. And so Optum, through its suite of companies, is looking at different parts of those issues and weaknesses and basically offering solutions to healthcare systems. And frankly, what people at Optum say almost to a person, at least all the people I know who are there, say they really all get up every morning motivated around achieving the goals of the so-called triple aim or now the quadruple aim. They really do believe it's possible to have better healthcare for Americans, better patient experience, better quality of care, better operating environment for clinicians and providers and people who are operating in the system, which is causing many people to be quite burned out. But they think that they could deal with those issues. And they also believe we could do all of this with lower total cost of care than we're spending now as a country. They believe all of that, but they don't believe it's going to happen through wishful thinking. They believe it's going to happen through application of a number of the solutions that Optum and frankly, some of Optum's competitor companies provide. They don't pretend that as a company alone, they've got all the answers, but they are the company that has the ability to see healthcare through a 360-degree view because they've got all of these companies under the Optum umbrella. They've also got United Healthcare with its capabilities in all different arenas, whether it's the Medicare Advantage program, whether it's commercial insurance, whether it's third-party administration of healthcare benefits, et cetera. So you've got a company that really has a 360-degree view on the healthcare system, and that gives them an advantage to understand the system across the complexities of the issues and also across all of the positions of the major stakeholders.
Where can folks listen to the new podcast?
Anywhere you shop for your podcasts. The podcast is available. And again, it's called Until It's Fixed. And I hope people will listen to it, appreciate some of the complexities and nuances in healthcare, and understand that there really are a lot of people working very hard to solve some of our most important and most urgent issues.
It is now time for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour Toast of the Week. What are we toasting to this week?
Well, I think during the course of this pandemic, how can we do anything but toast the healthcare workers and healthcare providers at every level who have been working to address the issues around the pandemic? And I mean what I say at every level, from the most sophisticated clinicians who from the get-go sought to understand the terrible, terrible complexities of this disease and what it does to the human body. The people who began ransacking our collective national medicine chests to figure out what products we already had that we could repurpose in some way to fight this condition. All of the people who set to work trying to invent new therapies, new diagnostic tests, new screening tests, et cetera, et cetera. The healthcare workers who were even preparing food in hospitals, taking mass transportation to work in the wee hours of the morning in order to be there to feed the people who were taking care of patients as well as patients themselves. Just a collective human effort of this sector, very broadly defined, that has risen to the occasion amid horrible, horrible circumstances. And as terrible as the toll of this pandemic has been, and it has been terrible, and it will continue to be terrible, the fact that we've had this incredible core of people rise to this challenge, we should not let a day go by without thanking our lucky stars that we have people who were able and willing to do this and who are not finished. I find it hard not to toast all of those people.
Cheers!
Thank you for joining us for the NAHU Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Health Underwriters. For more information on NAHU's government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nahu.org.